Winter thrills await at Winterfest at Nemacolin. Join the fun on Saturday, February 10th for a day of fun-fueled winter festivities like skiing and snowboarding, snow tubing, ice skating, and snow bikes. You'll be able to meet the Nemacolin Dog Sled Team, try your hand at ice bowling, compete in the out-cold race, and finish your day with a brew by the fire at the peak. A winter of wonders waiting for you at Nemacolin's Winterfest. Experiences are for overnight guests and members. For more information, visit nemacolin.com.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes on BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Audrey Rajan. With me,
Frida Liu.
On the show today, we are discussing vaccine goals as well as the need for foreign workers. Mm. But right now, we have quite a sad story about how the gym and fitness industry has taking in a loss of more than 110 million ringgit since the first MCO back in March last year.
So the Loose Coalition of Private Gym Owners and Operators throughout Malaysia recently conducted a survey of 254 owners and operators of boutique fitness, yoga studios, mixed martial arts studios, CrossFit gyms, multinational chain operators, franchise owners, individual PT studios and climbing gyms, among others, from 11 states as well as KL and Putrajaya. Apart from the losses, the findings showed that the gym and fitness operators also collectively spent more than 4.5 million on sanitizing, cleaning services, and provision of other hygiene needs in their commitment to mitigate the COVID-19 risk in their premises.
Whoa, okay. Now, from the survey, 87% of respondents have seen their employees' monthly gross income decline since the first MCO. And of that number, half said that the incomes have dropped by more than 40%. Now, there are more stats here. Gym and fitness operators also lamented that cash reserves will be completely depleted soon, with 41% saying that they would run out of cash for salaries, rent and utilities within 30 days. That's a month. Mm-hmm. Additionally, 30% have already laid off staff between the second MCO and now MCO 3.0. And more than 60% said that they are very likely to lay off more staff if the restrictions on gyms and other fitness facilities continue. And of that number, one third said they are likely to lay off more than 30% of their remaining workforce.
The coalition urged the government to reclassify the gym and fitness industry as an essential services and prioritise the reopening of the sector at the earliest possible opportunity. It is said in a statement, as the nation continues to grapple with the consequences of the pandemic, much has been said and written about the immense financial burden the people, employers and employees alike, as well as government spending. The pandemic also shines a light on the alarming increase in stress and mental health woes and long standing issue among the Malaysian population, the prevalence of non-communicable diseases such as obesity and diabetes, which are alarmingly among the main contributors to a high number of daily COVID-19 deaths, right? Mm. It's true. It added that while many other sectors which have contributed to a growing number of COVID-19 clusters in Malaysia were allowed to continue operating, the gym and finance sector has not only the lowest on-site transmission rates, but also produced zero COVID-19 clusters to date.
Yeah, so because we've been checking in with some gym operators throughout the year there, and we've heard firsthand how these gym and fitness facilities have among the strictest SOPs and also the lowest transmission rates by far in comparison to many other sectors. So this coalition also emphasized that the industry has consistently proven its ability to control crowds and maintain social distancing through its booking and visitation management procedures. In fact, it said a recent survey among their industry peers, that 254 plus industry peers, showed that only one reported on-site case for every 2.85 million visits.
Right. So the coalition also believe that the gym and fitness industry cannot be lumped together with the recreational sporting sector. We are an economic sector of our own. We are a critical component in supply chain, which includes towel suppliers, cleaning vendors, fitness equipment suppliers, and more recently, sanitation services, all of whom have already suffered dire consequences as a result of gym closures throughout the various MCO periods. On behalf of private gym owners and fitness facility operators in Malaysia, the coalition urged the government to allow the industry to reopen. Open. And it's, you know, I was just saying that the only person that the only entity that made money was the sanitation services at 4.5 million, right? Yeah. And looking at this, it's true, right? I mean, I was part of a gym, and then you do hear of cases, but it was addressed very quickly, and there are no clusters. Yeah. Right? There are no clusters in that sense.
I'm also thinking about the operators who maybe, you know, between MCO 1 and 2 would have invested in sanitation products and, you know, like maybe there's UV light. You know, there are all kinds of products to kind of sanitize the rooms and equipment as well, right? What happens now when the doors are shut?
Right. Mm. So, okay, so you've got that. And I think, like, also the reason I stopped with the gym is because they were less capacity, right? Because I like to go for classes and the classes are always full. Mm. Full in a sense because it's been halved, right? So that's the reason I stopped. But not so much for the COVID reason. And if you do look at the gym and see what it's like and you can report and make sure that if anything is wrong, then you would also, you know, make your comments known, right? So I feel really bad for them. I mean, I've always, what the thing with me was I was doing all sorts of other things as well, outdoor exercise and all that, and outdoor boot camps, right? So they have converted everything to online, so I just start doing it online and I go for my, you know, my runs outside as well. So in that sense, that transition for me. But I can understand, like, some people are very dependent on gyms, right? Mm. And it is about mental health, it is about fitness.
I'm also slightly worried about how this is going to shift consumer behavior, because if we spend so much time at home and maybe, you know, you're still a bit of a fitness freak and you're doing those YouTube workouts right now because you can't go to the gym, or you're doing these online fitness routines. What happens when the gyms reopen, when we are allowed to go back to the gyms? What happens then? You know, how will this affect the industry then? Because we're also used to, and also I'm just thinking, because something like your fitness routine, it's just part of your behavior. And if you've just decided to drop it now because you can't go to the gym and you've just been sitting on your sofa, maybe, you know, what happens then? How do you then get back into that routine? Because, you know, people talk about revenge spending, revenge shopping, revenge traveling, but will there be revenge gym going? I don't know. That's going to be such a hill to climb, right?
So that was one thing that I was so worried about during the first MCO, right? That, you know, that I don't exercise and then it becomes habit again, not to, right?
So difficult to get back on that
treadmill. Get back on that treadmill, you know? Get back, really. But it was just like, okay, then you have to adjust and do some indoor exercise and watch these videos and all that. But I enjoyed the gym. I really enjoyed the gym here. I used to swim. I used to do all these things, right, in between. So...
yeah, well, when we come back, we will hear from a gym operator's perspective, you know, what it's been like over the last year and, you know, how big this dent has been for them. When we come back, we'll be speaking with Noel Chelia, the operator of the Daily Muscle, a boutique fitness studio based in Glomek Damansara. But for now, here's Pat Benatar with Hit Me With Your Best Shot. You're listening to Enterprise BizBytes, BFM 89.9.
Building fit Malaysians. BFM 89.9.
And we're back. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes with Frida Liu and Audrey Raj. On the show today, we are talking about
vaccine goals, the blows to the gym fitness industry, and the need for foreign workers. And we had a comment here from 5942 who said who's gone for the second dose of Pfizer today at Summit Convention Center.
Oh, good for
and
you.
Here's, yeah, luck, fortunately, for second dose already. Here's hoping millions more will follow soon. Yes.
Yes, that's part of the 10.7 million Malaysians who will be fully inoculated by mid-July. That was our top story today. But of course, right now we are talking about that giant dent to the gym and fitness industry. They've apparently lost an estimated lost revenue of more than 110 million since the first MCO in March last year. So we have on the line with us right now a gym operator right out of the Klang Valley. We have Noel Chelia on the line. He runs the Daily Muscle, a boutique fitness studio based in Glomek Damansara. Noel, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. Now, just to kick things off, whilst there have been zero clusters from gyms, like we mentioned earlier on before the break, and of course, the lowest on-site transmission rate so far, do you think it was the right move to close gyms down early?
Do I think it was correct to close gyms down early? I think that right now in this situation, even if gyms were open, there would be a very, very small number of people who would want to go. And everybody's trying to minimize movement. The number of cases are so high. And there may be some people who may want to go, but I'm speaking for myself. I'm actually not dying for my gym to open right now. Again, that's just me. That's just me and my members and my team. Simply because we want to minimize movement. We want to play our part in keeping our members safe.
Right.
Who knows if they come out and they go somewhere else and then they expose themselves. So I'm okay that gyms are closed right now, but I think the real issue is that gyms should not be sidelined, because right now we're just being sidelined, we're being ignored. There's no one fighting for us. We have to all band together and appeal and go to the newspapers and do all kinds of things just for our voice to be heard. Mm. So the fitness industry is a significant contributor to our country's economy. And we've been seriously, severely affected. I know so many friends who have shut down their gyms over right. the past months. I'm grateful that we are still able to open. There are many gyms that are still open, but many have also closed. So where is the financial support? Mm. Where is some sort of priority? Who's gonna represent us? Who's gonna fight for us? I think that's the real issue. Rather than just for gyms to open right away, how about you support us and you take care of us so that we can stay close and still survive?
Right, Noel. So wouldn't things like group classes have significantly increased the risk of transmission despite SOPs being in place?
Here's the thing. In the past 1.5 years, there's only been in the thousands and thousands of visits in gyms in Malaysia, there's only been one reported transmission which actually happened at the gym. So many of us have been running classes because we have all these SOPs in place. The SOPs work. If I can tell you one thing, is that the SOPs actually work. Mm. The problem is that I think people just don't follow them. Mm. So you see all these little incidents happening everywhere else. With the right measures in place, I believe that we can train safely, that we can keep our members safe. We have doubled our cleaning protocol. We have a air sterilizer that runs 24/7. Mm. I feel super safe being in my gym right now than anywhere else. Again, I speak for myself. I speak for my studio, and that's just I feel that group fitness can carry on safely. Of course, we are at also a reduced class capacity. The government SOPs in the previous MCOs have actually brought us down to almost like from less than 50% in a class. Mm-hmm. And that's actually pretty safe. I feel it's a lot less safe going out there into the market or so many other things that you can be doing. That's actually not safe. We know now that COVID is airborne. It's not so much about surface and touching and contact, but it's really about ventilation. It's about staying physically distanced, and all these things can be done and can be controlled. Mm.
So the SOPs work if you work the SOPs, right?
Yes.
No, have the pivots that we've seen been enough to support business? You know, we've got virtual classes, equipment rental, that sort of thing.
I will speak for my studio. For us, I am grateful that we've actually been doing online training for the past 4 to 5 years ago. Mm. We've done a little bit of online training for personal training, coaching. So when the pandemic first hit and the first MCO happened, we were able to launch our first class, first live stream class the very next day. Mm. So it was almost as if we didn't take a break in terms of showing up for our members and running the classes. Of course, it takes some getting used to. But to answer your question is, on some months, we can actually break even. In many months, we have to dip into our savings. Mm. But having being able to pivot and to run live stream classes and to support our members online via Zoom, via so many tools, where we've equipped our trainers with hardware, with microphones, with internet cables, with all kinds of things that they need to successfully run their classes from home. We've done that for our team, and we've been able to sustain. Now, if this carries on, of course, we're going to hit a point where we can't sustain anymore. But I'm grateful that that we've been able to do this. There are many gyms out there that have not gone down the online route, sometimes because of the kind of training or workouts that they do, which are very specialized. Right. And there's just probably no way that they could run it online. Mm. So gyms like that are really in a tough spot because their income right now is zero. And we still have our commitments. We have our rent. We have our DBKL license. We have our electricity bill. It still goes on. We still receive mail and the bill comes to our post box. And what are we to do with all of that?
Right. And you know, most of these gyms are situated at really accessible areas where the rent will obviously be a bomb. So, Noel, coming back to this, many people have now decided to purchase their own equipment and they're working out from home now via online classes. Does this worry you that this might be the case from now on?
Yes, people have decided to purchase their own equipment. I think it's a good thing because people are realizing, if you look at the bigger picture, the purpose of for us, actually, for running a gym, is to empower people to take charge of their health and fitness. And if you can now be successful, you can train at home, that's a good thing. I think there will always be a need for a gym, but things will forever be different.
Yeah.
It's never going to be back to what it was before. I think class capacities are going to be so different. The gym moving forward is always going to be a hybrid gym. That means every gym is going to be to have some sort of online extension, some sort of way to support people at home when they can't show up to the gym. People have now realized that it's super convenient. No traffic jam, no need to pay for parking. You can literally roll out of bed 5 minutes before a class, do a class, and carry on with the rest of your day. That's a huge time saver.
Yeah.
And people are starting to realize that. That's why they're investing in their home gym, in their equipment. But at the end of the day, you still can't replace certain things like working one-on-one with a coach.
Right.
And this can be done online, but there are certain things where you would want to be face-to-face with a coach. So I think that online training is here to stay. Gyms and face-to-face training is also here to stay, but it's going to be a little bit different. And it's never going to be what it was, let's say, 2 years ago.
So, Noel, do you think there's going to be an alternative to the gym subscription model for the future?
Yes, there is. So moving forward, I see that gyms are going to have a hybrid subscription. So that means you can show up in person, do one-on-one, do your own thing at the gym. You can show up, work with a coach.
Yeah.
You can show up at home, work with the coach online. You can stream into a class that's happening at the gym from your home and still be a part of the community. I think one thing and one important reason why people still would continue to join a gym is because of community.
Yeah.
It's not easy to do fitness alone. You want someone else involved in this fitness journey. And it's not easy. You're not going to find that from your family. You're not going to find that from your neighbors. You're going to find that from other like-minded individuals that you will find at the gym. So the gym is here to stay. It's just that our way of delivering the experience, it's going to be in person. It's going to be online. And things are going to be different. So I see a lot of gyms, and we included, we already have this. It's a hybrid subscription. So your membership will include a certain number of in-person classes. It may include live stream classes, and it may include class recordings, pre-recorded videos. And think about it. You could now come home from a late night shift at 1 a.m. and play back a class that happened 3 hours ago. And these were things that were not possible 2 years ago, but now it is.
Right.
Who would want to work at 1 a.m. is another thing. But anyway.
Yeah, so Noel, earlier when we were talking about that article from the Malaysian Reserve, towards the end, the coalition of private gym owners and fitness facility operators in Malaysia, they've urged the government to allow the industry to reopen. What would be your argument for gyms to reopen?
I think right now in this current situation with the current number of cases, I think gyms should not reopen.
Mm.
And even if we did, the number of people who would come to the gym is going to be so few. I speak for myself in this, in saying that my members will not come back right now.
Mm.
Right now with the current number of cases, they will not come back. I know them. They are happy to be at home and we are supporting them online. But at the same time, there are people out there who need access to heavy equipment, specialized equipment. And those people, some of them are athletes, some of them are training for competitions. These people have no options. They have to be at a gym. So if there's any arguments for gyms to open, it would be for people who really need it for the career, for specific goals, and they need to be at a gym. Otherwise, right now, if you ask me, I think gyms do not need to open right away. Probably a lot of my gym owner colleagues will listen to me and not really like what I just said, but that's just how I feel. I feel that I want to take care of my members. Their safety is my number one priority. And if it means that they're staying at home, they're not even going out to buy their groceries. So why open and force them to go to the gym? And again, that is my clientele, my members, and because we are able to support them online. Now, for the gyms that are not able to support their members online and they have specialized training programs where you need to attend and be there physically, then obviously they have their case right there. Like whatever they're running can only be done in person, and therefore they need to reopen.
Right. Finally, Noel, understandably, the lockdowns have had a major impact on the fitness industry. So how hard is it going to be for there, you know, to be a comeback once restrictions are lifted?
Yes, the lockdowns have had a major impact on the fitness industry. I'm actually very optimistic for the future. Now, whether gyms will reopen in 3 months, 4 months, I really don't know. I'm preparing for the worst. But I believe that at some point, it's all going to bounce back. It's going to bounce back. People are going to come back and everyone's going to be vaccinated. Things are slowly going to return to normal again. And when that happens, I think there's going to be a huge surge in people wanting to take better care of their health because of this whole pandemic that has happened. A lot of people have realized the importance of staying healthy, staying fit. A lot of people who never used to exercise are now going out of their house and going for a walk. They're going for jogs. They are doing all kinds of things. And they are realizing that, wow, this fitness thing is actually pretty cool. So when gyms can finally reopen, I feel that we have a much bigger market out there that's ready for us. I always believe that there's enough cake for to go around for everyone. And the cake has been right there. Now you've got a really big piece of cake that all the gyms can now share. It's not really about competing or fighting or one gym being better than the other. It is one thing that this pandemic has taught us actually is for gyms to come together, to unite with one voice and to have our message to be heard. That's one good that has come out of this whole pandemic. I've met so many gym owners. I've got to know so many people. And likewise for the other gym owners as well, they're working together. So that's one good thing that has come out of this whole thing. And so when this whole thing is over, we, the fitness industry, are ready for Malaysians. We are ready for you. We are ready to support you. We hope that the government, that the parties involved, that the financial support is going to be there to support us. Because we're going to need all the help that we can get to be able to be part of the solution.
Right.
And not just gyms being a recreational thing, but we are an economic sector on our own. The gyms are essential and we can help prevent not just COVID, but a whole bunch of lifestyle-related diseases. And people would take gyms more seriously. So I'm really excited for that.
Right. Thank you for that, Noel. That was Noel Chelia from The Daily Muscle, a boutique fitness studio based in Glomek Damansara. The irony was not lost on me that we had a gym operator talking to us about how there's enough cake to go around right now. Thank you for that, Noel. We have to take a quick break right now to squeeze in some messages. But when we come back, we have a final story about how some businesses are in dire need of foreign workers. But, you know, at any point in time, you still have about 15 minutes to get in touch with us and, you know, comment on any of our the stories that we've done today. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp. You can also reach us on Twitter and on Instagram. At BFM Radio is our handle. But for now, here's Kula Shaker with Hush, you are listening to Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.